Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love.
Last one will be The Gift of Love, found in your red hymnal 408. The Gift of Love. You can tell there's a theme.
Though I speak with bravest love, have a gift to all inspire, and have not love, my words are vain as sounding breath and hopeless gain, hopeless gain. Though I may give all I possess, and striving so my love profess, but not begin by love within. The prophet soon turns strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are freed.
Amen. Well, again, welcome. let's try that again. Welcome. Good morning. Okay. So glad that all of you are here on this beautiful morning. And where's that Marty? There she is in the back, right? In the clowns. Boy, she'll do anything not to do her job up here. You know, she said she didn't think it'd look good for a clown to be up here. But you know, Barb and I have only been here for about 2 years, and the first Sunday we were here, Donald was up here in a chicken outfit. So I think it would have worked. So anyway, glad that you are here. If you are a visitor and haven't been seen by Barbara or one of the other welcome people, raise your hand so she can give you a little gift, and she'll hand that out to you, and so that our members, oh, we've got some up here, Barbara, in the front row.
Thank you.
And so we can greet you, and so Today we have we don't have a potluck, but we have a dinner afterwards. It is a fundraiser for the Women in Mission, and that goes to a good cause. We also have Heidi Sunday, and so if you have a birthday or an anniversary or any thing special that you would like to remember, Heidi is up on the altar, and so you can put your coins in there, and Heidi, the heifer, goes to overseas missions to buy cattle and chickens and all sorts of things for people overseas. We have a maroon book on this end to sign, and it'll be passed down the pews, so be sure to sign those and look to see who's on your pew. If you don't recognize somebody, even somebody who's been here for a long time, be sure to say hi to them. And there's prayer cards, blue prayer cards in your pews also. Put down prayers of concerns, prayers of rejoicing, and we'll pray, pick those up during the first hymn, and we'll pray for them, those people, and those events during Pastor Francis. We'll pray for those during the prayer concerns. So, any other announcements that I've forgotten? Lyle.
The Finance Committee has received a letter from Hugh Jameson, who happened to be Elizabeth Steyer's attorney in the settlement of the state, and we wanted to share part of this letter with you. Dear members, we have completed the administration of this estate. Today, the home was sold and the financial accounting distributions have been determined. Some of her property was turned over to the church for sale at their annual yard sale. This represents the estate, the proceeds the church may receive during the most recent June sale, and to the extent of all personal property that was sold. As a consequence, the check was enclosed for $6,130.24. We thank you for your help in processing the state settlement. It's been a pleasure to work with you, and as I recall, Mrs. Steyer enjoyed being among all of you. Sincerely, Hugh Jameson. If you all remember, Elizabeth was the one that did the Lord's Prayer for us in Arabic every so often. So, thank you.
Well, if there aren't any more announcements, we'll take this time now to prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Thank you. Our first hymn is found in your red book, 185, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Please stand as you are able. Continue with the opening words in our bulletin. Please read the boldface. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Our next hymn is Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart, 160.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and bring your glorious banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your
do the four verses. Okay. Okay, let us say the prayer of confession in unison. Merciful God, we confess that we have been faithful children. We have not lived by your law. We have remained silent in the face of evil. We have not refrained from deceit. We have not followed in the way of peace. And we have not honored all that is true and good. Forgive us our sin, O God, and lead us to sincere repentance. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Hear the good news to all who would receive him. This proves his love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated for the offering.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is a mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's a great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. His name is wonderful, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and if the children would come up. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not yet.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Can they hear me? Okay. Okay, Jim and Millie Moore, they want to share that their great niece, Hannah, is making a miraculous recovery. She is home and having rehab. Praise the Lord. Skip and Karen, Skip's sister Linda has been moved to hospice care. Pray for peace for her and the family. Lord, hear our prayers. Chuck Smith, for Geneva Smith, my niece, receive her master's in library science in San Antonio. Lord, we praise you. What a wonderful achievement. Yes. Chuck Smith, Rebecca Sheehan is in a hospital in Waco, Texas. First kidney transplant fail. Lord, hear our prayers. Chuck, again, he wants us to pray for Brian Smith, father-in-law. Hugh Harris Hardberg is having open heart surgery tomorrow, May the 20th, in Arlington, Texas. Lord, hear our prayers. Liz and Phil, they want to thank you all who help us navigate the recent medical issue. We are blessed by all of you. Lord, we thank you. We are blessed by you guys. And then the other one was a private note to me saying, speak louder. Okay. Yeah, to both of us. Now it is our children's time. Awesome. Yes.
As a group, we love to do some parades, sometimes in Alamogordo, and we'd love to come here with you guys and do a skit
This morning we were at Grace United Methodist Church at 9 o'clock, and we did our skit, and then we went to Left real quick, went to High Rose and did it left real quick. So maybe we could
have run this. All right.
But of course, we saved the best for last because you guys feed us.
Good morning, church. Did you know that it is back to school time?
Yes.
My mom sings a lot. I am so excited about school starting. I had my backpack packed a week early.
My favorite part about school is lunch. Although I did not have my lunch packed in way ahead of time.
You know, I'm kind of sad that school's starting. I am really like sleeping late, yes, and going to visit friends and to the pool and sleeping late.
I wonder how we should pray for our schools. I know our daddy God wants us to pray for everything. Well, I could pray for our families. We really need their help to get through our schoolwork. I can pray for our teachers and everyone that works at our school. They each have an important job.
And don't forget about people who cook the lunch. I don't want to think about a school without lunch.
You would.
You know, some of these students look kind of scared on the first day of school. I really, really hope and I pray that they have a really wonderful school year.
Good ideas. Let's pray right now. Will you pray with us? Yes.
Dear Lord, we know that no matter whether we're one or whether we're 101, we're still learning. We're learning about your light and your love. We're learning about your word. We're learning about the way we should walk and what we should do to follow you. Please be with us, with our teachers, with our mentors, with our students, with everyone. Be with our lunch ladies. Be with all the people who are around us every day. Let us be teachers. Let us show other people by our light where we need to walk and where we want to go. Let us shine our light. Because it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Wasn't that great? Yes. Let's give them more. Yes. Awesome. Okay. Prayer of Illumination. Almighty God, through the reading of Holy Scripture, feed us with your living word and reveal to us the way of everlasting life. Amen. The reading today comes from Psalms 34, verses 9 through 14, and it says, "Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions might grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will tell you the fear of the Lord.
Whoever of you loves lives and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love David. I love the Psalms. David gives us encouragement, advice, and warnings about how we should behave and how to hang on when difficult times come around. He inspires us to pray and ask for forgiveness when we messed up. He confirms God's unending love for his children, and he pins down a diagram of cause and effect, choices and consequences. Through it all, he is called a man after God's own heart. Well, church, that gives me the assurance that God will love us forever. In verse 9, he starts by saying, "Fear the Lord, for those who will lack nothing." Well, what does he mean by fear of the Lord? So I was doing a little research. In the Hebrew language, it means to respect, to reverence, and refers to the fear of God, and it is viewed as a positive quality. The fear of God is an attitude of respect, a response to reverence and wonder. In the word origin, it describes it as a feeling and an attitude of deep respect, shaded with wonder, majestic, sublime, extremely powerful, and veneration. The outward manifestation of this feeling is to pay reverence, a gesture indicative of deep respect and obedience. For those who fear the Lord shall lack no good thing. And here comes my favorite part, which is verse 12. And the reason I named this sermon Hate Speech, it says, "Whoever loves lives and wants to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies." I want to clarify that this verse is not saying we are to keep our mouth shut to abuse or bullying in any form. What I personally hear in this verse is that I am to remember that just because I think I'm right, it does not give me the right to prove I am right and to prove you're wrong. A person can speak many words a minute and several thousand in an hour. Man, don't be elbowing your wife right here. Keep your elbows to yourself. We all know that the tongue has a powerful influence on other people. We must watch what we say. We all need to practice the gift of self-control, or what I call use the filter between your mind and your mouth. Wives, don't elbow your husbands now. Keep your elbows to yourself. I know that some form of hate speech is used today to describe what's going on around us. And I know that all Christians would like to say, "Well, I don't use hate speech." But can we really say that? What is hate speech? The definition of hate is an intense hostility, an extreme dislike, usually deriving from fear, anger, or a sense of injury, and a lack of control over another person. Hatred generally includes hostility, bitterness, resentment. All of that leads us to have an unfavorable view of someone or something, such that we desire to harm them, to destroy them, or to defeat them. Just hearing this makes us feel uncomfortable, right? And we all say, "Well, I'm not like that. I don't use hate speech." But how many times do we do one of these things or several of them, but we don't categorize it as hate speech? Some people I know will say, "Wait, they need to hear the truth. The truth or your truth? We explain it by saying, well, what they're saying or how they're acting or how they're feeling is just not right. Not right according to whom? To God or to you? Every time you welcome or take the bait for an argument with another person, you are practicing hate speech. Every time you don't walk away from an argument, even and especially when it has nothing to do with you, you are practicing hate speech. Notice I say argument, not discussion, not exchange of ideas, not opinions. In an argument, you can choose, you can lose control and say things you will regret sooner or later. You can say things God might ask you to explain your choice to act the way you did on them. Your choice not to be humble, not to extend mercy, to instead decide to offend, belittle, humiliate, and put that person in the place you have selected that they should be. Yes, church, expect God to ask you. How do I know? Because God teaches us lessons all the time. Because every choice, as we can see in the Bible, sooner or later, has consequences. There's a difference between an argument and a discussion. In an argument, you hear this, your heart is racing. The adrenaline is pumping, and your psyche is telling you you are right and they are wrong, and you deserve to win. In a discussion, at worst, you should walk away thinking you need to pray for the issue, and at best, you're still full of agape love towards the other person. You walk away without judgment. Every time you look at a person, a family member, or your spouse, or your children, and can't get past the idea that they, because of the way they behave, because of the way they believe, have failed you in some way, every time you value and directly or indirectly say something negative, criticize them in some way, you are practicing hate speech. What is really hard for me personally is to withhold words of affirmation. Words of kindness, words of hope, of encouragement, words of agape love. I consider this hate speech. Withholding an opportunity to build someone up, even in a very small way, to me is a form of hate speech. And it says, when we withhold it, it says, I don't care enough about you. You're not valuable enough to me to find something nice to say to you. I like to tell you of my own personal experience with hate speech, and I have several, but I will start small. I grew up being compared to my mother's best friend's daughter. She was prettier, she was smarter, better poised, obedient. She did not talk back, and she was always winning merits and diplomas at school. I, on the other hand, I will take my father's rowboat and go down the coast in Cuba on the beach for miles alone. I was less than 10 years old. I spent a lot of time at the Mother Superior's office. And after a while, she has decided that as punishment, she will send me to the chapel to pray and repent. While in chapel, I found where the wine was kept. And I tasted it. It was not luck. I found the wafers. They came in a box. I ate them. I had no idea that Jesus was kept in a box during the week. I always thought that he came out of that little gold box in the middle of the altar, you know, and then out of the chalice. And the priest will always tell you this is the body of Christ, and we're about to receive the actual body of Christ. What else could I think? That Jesus was living in this little gold right there in that box. The priest had a key. So, I mean, my goodness, he wasn't even let out during the week, just on Sunday. Okay? So what else could I think? Jesus lived inside the cup, inside the gold box, in the altar, locked with the key. When the nuns will tell me I could not leave the school and go up to the abbey anytime I wanted to, I would ask them why. And they will say, well, because you can't. You just can't. I remember thinking, they probably say that because they're nuns and their habit keeps them from running. And besides, they probably don't know about the abbey's secret door that leads to the kitchen where the novices are making bread while they keep a 12-hour vow of silence that somehow I felt that was wrong, and I engaged him in conversation. So I wasn't only going downhill myself, but I was dragging many people along with me. And since I did not like the nuns at school, I was not going to tell them that. Do I need to say that I did not go home with positive progress reports? When the school and the church were closed and the government started sending the nuns and the priests back to Spain, people will whisper, isn't this sad? And I will tell them, well, the nuns and the priests, they need to go home and see their families. That's what they need to do. Then after that, I was placed in a public school, and that's another sermon. I am able to relate this to you and look at it with humor today. But when I was growing up, there was nothing funny about it. All I remember was that I was a disappointment to my mother, that I was not good enough, and that I would never be anything but a problem. My mother's constant comparison, constant recrimination, her constant verbal abuse was hate speech, and it laid the foundation for how I will see myself as time went by. Hate speech has many forms, but it is something we can work to control. The Lord, through David, tells us, turn from evil, meaning malicious, spiteful, vindictive, cruel, conceited, or overbearing. Turn from this and do good, meaning seek peace, harmony, goodwill, kinship, and pursue it. Pursue peace at all cost. When all else is said and done, God takes our actions, or our lack of them, into account. Not our opinions, but our actions. I have done many graveside services, and I have never seen a stone that says, here lies Joe Smith. He was right 89% of the time. So my advice to you, you know, is, you know, cool it on that part. You're not going to put, you don't want that in your stone. Let us pray. Father, put a guard over our mouth when we're about to say something we should not say. Whether it is a word that is untrue, a word that is negative, a word that is critical, or a word that discourages. Put a guard over our mouth when we think that making our point, setting other people straight, or overwhelming them with our ideas, our information, and judgment is more important than your love for them and your love for me. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Father, there are times when we need to speak and times when we need to keep quiet. Give us the wisdom to know the difference and the courage to respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like now to extend an invitation. If you have not received Jesus in your heart and you would like to do so, please come forward and I will be happy to pray with you. And also, if stepping forward is something that is awkward to you and you just don't feel comfortable doing it, know that my office is open. Know that what we all want to celebrate with you, your coming into the presence of the Lord, we don't have to. The Lord will know whether you do it here or whether you do it in my office or whether you do it in the privacy of your home. The important thing is to acknowledge that Jesus is welcoming to your heart. And then, of course, tell your pastor.
Please stand as you are able for our hymn, Trust and Obey, found on 467 in the Red Book.
Send you on your way. I want to let you know that we are having a meal right here on Fellowship. The most important thing about the meal, besides the fact that it was prepared with love, and that I can attest that there's one cake that has cherries in it and nuts, is delicious. So I just, you know, that I can tell you. The funds go to the mission field of the church. It does not come back into the church, but it goes to help people pay for their light, their propane, a bed when it's needed, coats when it's needed. It goes back to the community that you're all part of. So I ask you, please consider staying for lunch today. Even though that it is a fundraiser, we need each and every one of you to make it happen. Hamburgers, green chili, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, just as if we were out on a picnic, guys, okay? So now receive this blessing from the Lord. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you might abound in hope, love, and peace. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you.
Bind us together.
Bind us together.
Thank you.